Bibles and turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Now, they weren't all college men. This one in the middle is a principal over here. And this one on the end is one of our pastor's assistant and one of the teachers at the school. And soon to be a own missionary deputation. And dad, too. So, anyway, he's getting plumb old. But Psalm 66. Sweet psalm. I've read this psalm numerous times this week in preparation for this morning's message. I want to ask you to stand with me, if you would please, out of respect for the Word of God. We're going to read just the last three verses of the chapter. I will glean from the entire chapter. But I want to bring the primary thought from the last handful of verses. And so if you would, in Psalm 66, verse 18, 19, and 20, read aloud in unison with me on those three verses together. Ready? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Our text will be taken from the 19th verse, but verily, and the word verily just means truly, truly, or verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, the man God hears. The man God hears. And I'm going to go through this chapter with you, and I want to say this in preface to the message. As we preach the message this morning, I'm not giving you a list of qualifiers to be heard by God. God wants to hear from us. Make no mistake about it. And God gives many promises that He will hear and answer prayer. Matthew 18, 19, two of you agree. The Gospels say, if you desire. Matthew 7 says, if you ask continually, ask and ask and ask. There are many different prayer promises. Sometimes we take those promises and make them qualifications for prayer. If you got to get all those just right, then finally you can get your prayer answered. That can be counterproductive to what I want to try to accomplish this morning in your mind and heart. I want to encourage you that you can go to God and you can be heard. But I also want to emphasize the fact that we know this man was heard. He was. You ever wonder if God was hearing you? You ever wonder, God, are you listening to me? We know this man was heard. The Bible tells us. Is my microphone working right? Can you hear me okay? Okay. We know this man was heard. We know he was heard. His prayer was not turned away. And so my desire is to learn something about this man whose prayer was heard. And of course, that's in my desire to be heard. So let's consider this chapter, the man God hears. Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, convey to me what you so sweetly showed to me in study and preparation this week. In meditation on these wonderful verses. And Lord, embolden us as thine people that we can indeed have an audience with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Joe Henry Hankins was a great preacher of a former generation, greatly used of God. When he was an 8-year-old boy, he had a God-fearing, praying mother, and he was severely burned, horrible second and third degree burns from his neck down. His life hung in the balance. The doctor was called, and the doctor came, as was the custom of that day, to the home. And a vigil was made for the little 8-year-old Joe Henry. His life hung in the balance. It did not look like that he was going to live. But his mother was a praying woman. The doctor sat vigil through the night, as did other loved ones. Mother dismissed herself into another room and began to pour her heart out to God, begging God, save my boy, Save my boy. Let his life count for Christ. Use him in some great way. Let him live. Still hung by a thread, a sweet sense of the peace and presence of God overwhelmed her soul that if he so chooses, but not in an audible voice, but by speaking, I have answered your prayer. She leapt from her prayer, I've just heard from heaven, and he's going to make it. And guess what? He made it, so to speak. And God's hand was on Joe Henry Hankins' life. If you look at the title, we would call this the title, the very small print to the chief musician, a song or song. If you would go to chapter 60 of whom? Of David. You'll find that throughout many of Psalm 69 to the chief musician upon Shoshan. Chapter 70 of Psalm of David, etc. Now notice back our text here, Psalm, there is no name. This is a song, obviously it was written, but is trying to teach us that this man who was, he was not heard because he was a man of notoriety. David would certainly be counted among the great men that, yes, we can learn from great men, Longfellow wrote, lives of great men oft behind his footprints on the sands of time. Yes, we can learn from those who says to you and I, who you said, preacher, I'm of no notoriety, of Psalm 66, 18, 19, and 20. We can be the man or the woman that God heard. Amen. He was the man who poured water on the hands of Elijah, the man of God. He was his servant, if you will. He did as well as Elisha. Even goaded Elisha because he stuck so closely to God's man. And they say, why don't you leave him alone? And Elijah, the mentor, his servant, the one who ministered to him, the one who was his student, was goaded by his peers because of his. Elijah, when he was caught up in that fiery chariot, Enoch and Elijah, the only two we find in the Bible, went to heaven without dying. Elijah was caught up in a fiery chariot, and as he was going up, his mantle fell from the sky, and Elisha, his student, picked it up. That mantle had been the river of Jordan. Elijah, the man of God, as he approached the river, had removed his mantle and smote the waters able to walk across. And now the man of God has gone up in a fiery chariot. His mantle falls, Elisha picks it up, and he comes to the river. With the mantle of the man. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he takes the mantle and he smites the water and the river parts for him as well. Can I tell you something? The God of Elijah is my God today. The God of Moses is my God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of my forefathers. That's my God today. And if he hears one of his children, he'll hear another of his children. If God would hear the man of Psalm 66, then surely he would hear us too. What kind of man was me? And we read in Psalm 66 and verse number 1, this God the Spirit pens the words, make a joyful noise unto, make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee. Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on him, a reference to the crossing of the Red Sea. He ruleth by his power themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life. Which suffereth not, alloweth not our feet to bood. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads, literally trample us. Out into a wealthy place, a bountiful place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vow. I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams, extravagant sacrifice. I will, and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. This is the man whom God heard. May I make note this morning. Number one, from verse one, make a joy. He's a joyful man. My Bible said in Psalm 51, 2, after David had sinned, he wrote these words, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Listen, I believe is eternal. It is eternal life. I believe when God saves you, he saves you just like he said he would. He saves you forever. Amen. Come with me on that point that you could lose what God did. But I would say to you, how could he be going to heaven? Look what he did. I, in my human understanding of things, would have to agree with you. But I also know that this book right here tells me what God says about my salvation. And when it doesn't make right, and I'm wrong. Amen. And what I do know is this, that though I can, and I can lose my fellowship, and I can lose my closeness for sure, David said, restore my joy. I lost my joy. Can I tell you something, my dear friend? Listen, you know what God likes to hear from? Joyful Christians. Amen. Joy presence is fullness of joy. You want to have joy in your life? Get close to God. Look, there's a difference between happiness and what happens. But joy comes from the inside out. Amen. Oh, my strength comes from an inner joy. The world could be in chaos around me, and yet the joy of the Lord exudes from my life. Psalm 30 verse 5, weeping may endure for a night. A person with joy doesn't mean to have no heartache, to have no mourning. There is something that flows from within, from God's Spirit who indwells the believer, and that allows us to have joy even in the midst of heartache and trial. John 16, 22, the Bible said, your joy no man taketh from you. Let me tell you something about it. You can't steal it. You can't steal it. He found himself in a little, tiny little church. And through a series of events, found himself in a tiny little church. And this is a man who had spent his life to that point in crime and extortion. And he's sitting in this little church, and everybody in the church is smiling. The floor. He's looking at the walls. The furniture. There's something there, hiding something in here. And they all know about it. And they know I don't know about it. And they're all smiling because they know something that I don't know. And they did. They knew Jesus. Amen. And they had the joy. It's an incredible story of a man whose life was transformed and became a conduit of the joy of the Lord. We got away for a few days and had a sweet time. We had some hotel points, and we had no particular agenda, but we found a nice new hotel right on the beachfront in Virginia Beach and watched the sun come up for three mornings, and it was delightful. It was beautiful. That's where I got this sermon this morning. Anyway, I noticed a teenage girl there each morning. She was so somber, unhappy. Her dad looked at me about my age, and my heart just went out to her. And hi, or whatever, couldn't make eye contact. I'm not criticizing a girl. The Center for Disease Control, high school students surveyed in the fall of 2021. 30% of teen girls in this country have seriously suicide. 1 out of 3. 20% of grants, and I'll be careful, a very sensitive thing. 1 out of 5. The hope is not in some twisted idea of identity, but an understanding that you have mistakes, and he loves you. I said, so they give him the birth certificate. And dad said, I'm sorry, this is there's a mistake on this. He gave it back to him. They said, well, that's not a mistake. He said, no, right here. You're taking them home right now. We're leaving. We're packing up. And you didn't mark the gender. I need you to print me a this is my official birth certificate. I need a birth certificate. They said, no, we... He said, what? Well, we don't do that anymore. Well, you listen to me. Satan simply wants to twist the beauty of God's creation. Male and female created he them. In his anyone. I mean, no disrespect, but I'm going to be very frank with you. That's why the marring of our bodies has become so popular. Don't know where anybody went when they died. But if it wasn't born again, he's in hell. I don't know. Deformed literally changed the structure of his faith. He was never satisfied with himself, with his looks. Listen, body, you don't need to cut yourself up. You don't need to undergo some kind of therapy or shoot yourself full of something. No, sir. You're God's special creation. And God does things that are perfect. And you ought to say, thank God I'm a boy. Thank God I'm a boy. I go to the mirror, I'm done. Amen? I thank God. And I guarantee you, the girls in my house, girls too, amen. They watch Dad. This is so personal, probably inappropriate. They watch Dad get up in the morning. Come on now, help me, somebody help me. Don't leave me up here by myself, fellas. Can I get a witness right now? Come on, fellas. Alan, all right. You know what they think? They go, thank God I'm a girl. You know what this world needs? They need to realize that there's a group of people who have something that comes from the inside. It has nothing to do with circumstances. It doesn't have anything. It has to do with Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. God loves to hear from such. Look what else he said. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing. Sing. Sing forth the honor. This is a singing man. This is a singing man. You understand this. But this man got his prayers heard. I don't know what kind of man he was. He was a joyful man. He was a singing man. He was a singing man. Let us, dear Christian friend, not forget the power of a song that glorifies and honors God. The word, look at the verse again with me, verse 2. Sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. It's an interesting word, the word glorious. There, it's used 168 times in your Hebrew Old Testament. And 35 of those times it's translated honor. What he's saying is, this is singing that glorifies and honors God. Listen, you want your prayers answered? You have a song in your heart that glorifies and honors a holy God. Muffled background when you're sitting maybe in this chatter and so forth. It's a little muffled in the background and you don't really pay attention much. But go to the back speaker in the restroom. It's clear and the most profane, vile, disgusting things. Demeaning the females, the ladies. Talking about them like they're trash. Adulterous, pornographic things. Listen to me. You're going to need God one day. You're going to need Him one day. You're going to need Him when you find out someone has cancer. You're going to need Him when you get the phone call to the car accident. You're going to need an audience with God. Now, let's see. Fix that then. Fix it. Go to God and say, God, I'm selfish. I'm stuck on me, and I need to get over it. Let me tell you one reason you can't sing the hymns is because the music you're listening to, it glorifies drunkenness, it glorifies adultery, it glorifies drugs, it glorifies suicide, and that's why you don't want to sing when we sing in here. Listen, why don't you turn that mess off? Why don't you go home and bust and get you a hymn book and fumble your way through it when we sing? Billy Sunday, and I've forgotten State Street. I forgot the adjoining street. Ball player, he and his buddies were drinking buddies. He sat down on a curb outside of a bar, and across the street was a little group of people, a few instruments. And the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of Billy Sunday's heart. And he stood up from that curb. He looked at his buddies. He said, my mother took me to Sunday school and church. He said, fellas, we've come to a parting of the ways. I'm going with Jesus. And Billy Sunday, the professional baseball player, became Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, who saw over 1 million souls walk the sawdust trail to put faith in Jesus Christ under his preaching. Oh, listen, God needs some singing Christians. Amen. He likes to hear from them. I remember a testimony of one of the ladies in this church several years ago. We had a revival campaign. Ended up going 5 weeks long. And I remember so vividly the testimony she stood and gave. She said, you know, since God dealt with my heart this week and I made some things right. She said, I fixed her in church. I don't know if she can sing or not. But she said, I can't sing. She said, but I want to sing. And I don't even care if anybody says, Pastor, that's not for me. I can't sing. Oh, go back to verse number one. Make a what? Joyful noise. Can you? Look what else he says in verse 3. Saying to God, how terrible art thou in exclamation point. You know what he is? He's an enthusiastic man. He's an enthusiastic man. The word terrible, our word awesome. He said, we have an awesome God. That's what he's saying. In Acts 4, 18 through 20, they wouldn't stop speaking about their Savior. And they said in response to be, but they said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We heard what we have heard and keep it inside. We can't do it. We know what Christ has done for us. We know the salvation. We can't keep our mouths shut. These men were excited about what God had done. And this man who speaks, he says, saying to God, how in thy works. Listen. And that national anthem is ready. Bum, ba, bum, bum. Wow. Why? I'll tell you why. I'm glad to be free. Amen. They're not leaving by the millions. They're coming by the millions. Yeah. Why? It's not as far from what I wish it was, but it's still the best place to live. Glad to be American. Amen. Amen. I'm excited about it. What's happened to our society now? We're all supposed to be guilty because we're free? No, this is not a perfect nation. There's no such thing. Yes, there's some dark places on the history of this nation. That's absolutely true. But let me tell you something. Built on principles, a nation who went to war to excited. Let me tell you something. I'll be switched if I'm going to be embarrassed about being a child of God and belonging to the family of God. I'm excited to be a Christian. Handel's Messiah. Handel was a brilliant man. Composer. It's the custom of King. Hallelujah. Don't I have a wonderful voice? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why are you laughing? That hurts me. Anyway, that great chord forever and ever. Hey, we ought to be excited. Amen. Number 4. Circle the first word of verse 4. All. What kind of man did God hear? A joyful man, a singing man, an enthusiastic man. All, verse 4, the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. You know, this is a big picture, man. I chased down the references as I studied, and it took me to Zechariah chapter 14, where Jesus Christ comes back. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against half of the city, shall go forth into captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valleys of the mountains for the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. In that day, shall be a fountain. Oh, big passage. It talks about how the city of Jerusalem under attack from its enemies and how the nation of Israel, its history has been one of horrible persecution. The Jews stood there and they said, His blood be upon our hands and upon our children. And it has been upon their hands. But they're still God's chosen people. God still has a plan for the nation of Israel. And though they will be ravished and destroyed over and over again and burned in Nazi concentration, He's going to plant His feet. You can stand on the Mount of Olives and look across the Kidron Valley to the eastern gate that's boarded up right now with a Muslim cemetery right in front of it. It's closed up, but Jesus is coming back. The mountain's going to split from Jerusalem, my friend. We sang it. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I am on. Those Hudson was just a few months from dying. I'd never heard the song. He stood up on college chapel. I was training. They had to help him to the pulpit. We got the pulpit. Boy, God gave him strength. Just months before he would pass. Inside. Boy, you talk about shouting the house down. We shouted the house down that day. I'm not saying every circumstance of your life is good. I'm not saying you don't have pain. I'm not saying you don't have sorrow. But let this mind be to be equal with God. Didn't take anything away from God. He was the God-man. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Didn't the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of name. And it goes on to say that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm on the winning side this morning. That's the big picture. He ends verse 4 with the word Selah. It's at the end of verse 7 and it's at the end of verse number 15. It means stop here. It's a musical notation. This is a song. This man whom God heard was a joyful man, a singing man, an enthusiastic man, a big picture man. And by the way, let me pause here just before I move on. Big picture. You need to be aware of what's going on in the world. But we have a God who's in control. Then number 4, number 5, he's a contemplative man. Friends, listen to me. There need to be seasons in your life, and there needs to be some time every day you turn the phone off, the radio off, the TV off before your God. Be still and know that I am God. A lot of people are rattled. They're never quiet enough to get in God's presence and think. Banks are eggs. Are $82 a dozen? What are we going to do? If we in a total financial collapse, you know what God in heaven will do? What are we going to do? No. The God who feeds the sparrow will take care of his own. Verse 5 says, come and sue toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did ruleth by his power forever his eyes. Behold the nations, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. There are four there's several subjects in this, grammatically speaking. Look at verse number 5. There's an understood you, which is the subject. You come and see. That's the subject. You come and see the works of God. He, in his doing, he turned the sea. There's the other God, or he is the other subject in these sentences. They, there's another subject. They, crossing the Red Sea. That was a miracle, right? So you, he, they went through the flood on foot. There did. You understand we're talking about the Red Sea, cross the Red Sea. Y'all with me? Say amen if you're with me. They went through the flood on foot. There did. What's the next word? We. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth. Talking about God again. By his power. Verse 8. Oh, bless our God. Verse 9. Which holdeth our soul. Verse 8. I skipped it. Oh, bless our God. Verse 9, which holdeth our soul. Here's the point I'm making. Here's a man that he did not experience the Red Sea. Here's a man who said, those are God's people. And that's what God did for them. And that's my God. So I'm part of them. I'm on. He's a secure man. He said, Pastor, is God going to answer all your prayers? He may not. But here's what I know. He can do what He's done for others. He'll do for you with arms wide open. He'll pardon you. It's no secret what God can do. I read what God did for Daniel in closing the mouths of the lions. I read what God did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by bringing them through a fiery furnace. I read what God did for several million of Jews across the wilderness for 40 years and feeding them with water from a rock. Help me! Does your God know that the stock market's about to crash? He's a secure man. Verse number 10. For thou, O God, hast approved man. The man that God hears is not a man whose life, Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He's a tested man. And may I say, and if you have been through the deep valley of testing, you would agree, I'm sure, that we pray are not in times of ease. They are in times of testing, are they not? God hears from us. Notice, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver, laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads, literally to trample. But thou broughtest us out through the fire, through the water, through into a wealthy or an abundant place. Number 8, he's a submissive man. Here's what he says. God, you did this, and I submit to your wisdom and sovereignty in it. I've been evil. But as I think one of the greatest verses in the Bible, Genesis 50, verse number 20 says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good. And yes, He used human instruments and injustice at their hands and brought me through. Number 13, I will go into thy house. Verse 13, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will, and my mouth hath spoken. Look at it. When I was in trouble. Number 9, he's an honest man. What kind of man is this? A joyful, singing, enthusiastic man. A big picture man, a secure man. A tested man. How's he made in times of trouble? He didn't say, well, I was under duress. I was emotional when I made that commitment to the Lord. I was going through the fire and I just said, God, you can get me out of this. I promise I'm going to. And I just did that because I was going. He got through the fire when he got through the flood. When they finished trampling on his head, he came out and said, Lord, I made some promises back there when I was in the valley. Says, I'm going to keep them. I'm going to keep them. God said, I want to hear from you. I'm listening. People say, I don't believe in making promises. I don't believe in it's pseudo-spiritual. Pious is what it is. I don't believe in making commitments. Well, I might not be able to keep them. You have a truck payment. You got a house payment. But I do believe, my dear friend, that God deserves some holy commitments to be made to Him. He says in verse number 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. You know this man, he's bragging on the Lord. Hey, come here. Let me tell you what God did. Woo, man. They walking on my head. I was going through the flood. I was going through the fire, and God brought me out. He's a good God. I love Him. You got a story too, don't you? And God ought to get the glory for it. And then He says, lastly, in verse 11, excuse me, number 11, verse 18, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord aware man. Next to knowing God, the most important person for you to know is yourself. By the way, it is knowing God that allows you to know yourself. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, Isaiah wrote. And his train filled the temple. It describes those angelic beings flying around the throne crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And Isaiah got a vision of God in his glory. "Holy, holy." What did Isaiah do? He fell on his face and said, "I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." I submit to you that to come into the presence of God will humble you and cause you to do some soul searching and to come face to face with yourself in light of God's holiness, to become self-aware. David wrote, "Search me, O my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be some wicked way in me." Even God's own children just stop talking. "I don't even know if he hears me. I don't know who this man is." We'll meet him. And I know God wants to hear from you. So, maybe I'll pattern after this man who got his prayer, sir. A joyful man. A singing man. An enthusiastic man. A big picture man. A contemplative man. A secure man. A tested man. A submissive, honest, God-fearing, self-aware man. God wants to hear from you, dear friend. He invites us to come boldly before his throne. Are you in close communion with him today? Is he hearing from you? Are you hearing from him? Your heads, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.